Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, everybody. We have made it through the week, and we are brought to you today by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up for the weekend with all your favorite beverages, snacks. Of course, the pickle bar is there where Buhner has been bellied up to that since Monday. Buhner, when is Buhner coming back on the show, by the way?
I want to know
where there's a Buhner sighting.
It was on the mark a couple of days ago.
Oh, come on. Of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. All you have to do is go to www.hilscherstore.com. And don't forget that Hilscher's General Store is located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. I'm safe in the Sunbury Motor Studio, and I do mean safe. If you're there, I'm here. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today we will talk about the Preakness. And on the Preakness, we'll talk with Dick Girardi. Feature on Bill O'Brien will debut on HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on Tuesday night at 10, by the way. The Lady Lion basketball team was able to get their ACC Challenge game. Guess who they got? Notre Dame here. How about that? Nice. That worked out very, very well. And, of course, a lot going on tomorrow. All right, Kevin. Dick Girardi's coming up in a few moments of the pre. Go ahead, Kevin. Tomorrow's Indy 500 qualifying day. Go ahead.
That's right. It's a big pole day. Marco ran 225 earlier this week, and that's one of the fastest laps of the week so far. Ryan Hunter-Reay checking in just behind him. So that's two from the Andretti Motorsports clan. And A.J. Allmendinger, who came from kart, then went NASCAR, and now back into the open wheels again with IRL. He has one of the top 10 times of the week so far. Mm-hmm. Every time he does a lap in the lead, you got to yell, Dinger!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really? Really?
No, I feel on behalf of the audience, I want to say to you, really?
Listen, if you have not seen the new design of these cars at Indianapolis, it literally does look like they are flat on top. I mean, if you remember the way the wings are always high above the driver's head, they actually look like they're below the driver's head this time.
And they're running 225.
And they're running 225 right now.
Good. I like it. More speed, the better.
Which at 225, that's an average lap speed at 225. That means they're probably hitting 233, 234 going into turns 1 and 3.
Great. That's what I like to hear. You like to see them throttle down to 130. I want to see SPWD speed.
Listen, at this track, if you do not have to take your foot off the gas, you have got a car, and you may very well have the car that wins the race.
Love it. See, that's the way it should be. You want to make left turns, right turns, slow down, boom, boom. You know, I want passing. I want speed.
I want passing. I want speed. I want it now.
Hey, I'm an American. I want to see this done an American way. You're like in this European model. We're at Monaco. Yes,
oh, I love Monaco. That's an awesome track.
The Grand Prix of Marseille. He just made a right turn. He hasn't relinquished the lead now in 5 years. And the person in second also has been in second for 5 years. The third place person has been in third place for five. Nobody passes.
You know, I really like you. I do a lot, but I'd much rather hear Bob Varsha say that than you.
I mean, really, we haven't seen any passing here in years.
I'm an American. I want to see the pedal to the floor. I want to see go.
Do you want to see him run in the rain?
It's going to be beautiful out. What
No. Answer my question now. Do you want to see them run in the rain?
No, I want to see speed.
See, I want to see them run in the rain, and they don't run ovals in the rain.
I want to see speed.
I want to see speed.
Look, here's the bottom line. How many of you out there play the Powerball when it's $20 million?
I have my ticket right here.
No, I said, how many of you play Powerball when it's $20
million? Oh, sorry. Right. I anticipated your question.
We are a society that looks around at $20 million and goes,
that's not enough.
Big enough. Now, this weekend, it's at $500 million. And you, as Americans, are lined up everywhere buying multiple tickets. Am I correct?
No question. As a matter of fact, I may buy Mega Millions and Powerball and try and win them both for, what, $800 million?
Okay. That's why we don't want to see the kind of racing you like in the rain. Left turn, right turn. We want speed. We want all out. We want big numbers. 225, 226, 227. No throttling down. $20 million Powerball. $500 million all in. Multiple tickets.
Here's my savings.
That's America. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
You can get your Powerball ticket there, too.
Above the Noise with Dan Patrick's next.
Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf is going to make it impossible.
Impossible.
For you to say no to these huge discounts. Show off your individuality with a 2013 Kia Soul starting at $15,929. Sunbury Motors Kia ordered extra 39 MPG 2012 Kia Optima Hybrids, which are discounted $5,047. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Built in the USA, 2014 Kia Serenos start at just $22,993. And Sunbury Motors Kia has 18 in stock now. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, the discounts are so huge, it's going to be impossible to say no. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Maryland, my Maryland.
Yeah, all right. That's tomorrow.
Right, but we're going to be talking about that today.
Kevin has been regaling me with speed times from guess where?
The Preakness. Yes, you guessed right. Well, from Indianapolis, of course. You know, they started the day with the rookie Carlos Munoz at 225. He bumped it up 3 miles an hour on Fast Friday here. EJ Visso is a tick under 230. And we were talking about this a few minutes ago when you looked at what happened before today. They were a tick under 225. They jumped 4 mile an hour in one day before qualifying tomorrow. And last year's pole, by the way, 226. That's a significant jump.
You know what I love listening to? The enthusiasm in your voice when this topic comes up. There is a special juice in your voice when this topic comes up.
I love this month. I told you, I love this month. I'm so excited tomorrow. I am going to be sitting as qualifying starts. Now, I have a couple of things I have to do in the day, but I have my phone ready to go. I'm going to have it locked on the IndyCar app. And yes, there is an IndyCar app. I'm so ready for this.
Really?
Really? I listen, right before the split, now I don't remember the numbers, I'd have to look exactly, but right before the IRL cart split, they were turning around 233, 234. That was the lap speeds, lap times.
Yeah.
Now, with the redesign of the cars over the years, they tried to make the cars a little less expensive. They didn't use the turbochargers. Speeds went way down.
Did they really?
This is the first time in maybe a decade that we've seen 230. That's why I'm excited.
This is the enthusiasm in your voice. I think is worth the price of admission for all of our listeners.
I don't get much more excited than this.
I know. Wait till he gets in traffic. It won't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, traffic speeds and qualifying speeds are two different things. Race speed, qualifying speed, two different things. By the way, they're under a yellow
right now.
I'm
surprised you're not going to be sitting there the entire time watching this.
That kid's got a baseball game.
You're allowing family to get in the way?
I am.
He plays a lot of baseball games.
I am. I'm going to be a dad for a while, so, yeah.
The kid has a lot of baseball games.
Yeah, but I'm helping coach, so I feel like I have to be there.
Really?
Now, it'll be interesting if I end up being on the bases and base coach and miss a sign because I have my phone out. I'm like, hang on a minute. Hold on. Don't steal yet.
You're a base coach.
No, I said if I'm a base coach.
How often are you a base coach?
Not that often. That's where it works in my favor.
I think it kind of works in the team's favor,
don't you? That may be too. Under yellow at Indy because of lightning right now. So,
well, that doesn't sound good.
There's 2 hours and 34 minutes yet to go in practice. So,
to quote the great Allen Iverson, the great sports philosopher
here we go
himself,
again.
The great sports philosopher himself, practice. You're all excited about practice.
I think I heard this before.
Practice.
Steve, 36 cars in the field. You know what that means? 36 cars actually entered to be in the field. You know what that means?
It means three are going to get bumped.
That's right. We have a bump day. We have a bump day.
Where the worst of the worst get to go home.
The worst of the worst?
Yeah.
Not the worst of the worst. Now, this is funny. You said just said the worst of the worst. This comes from a man who a couple of weeks ago complained about something I said disparaging to an athlete that I didn't have the ability to do what he did.
And you don't.
Now, I've known
you brought that point back up again. Once again, you can't do what they do.
I've known you for a long time. I don't ever remember you going 230 miles an hour. I may be wrong.
No, I don't do anything at 230.
I can't even imagine 230 miles an hour. I mean, I really can't. I mean,
we have to get you into the IndyCar experience.
Well, you can. I mean, you can have those speed shots on television. And you just, I can't even imagine what it would be like. I do, though, understand how these drivers, years ago at Pocono, you'd have NASCAR drivers get pulled over on Interstate 80 for speeding, doing like 95 when they just spent, you know, several hours running at 150 miles an hour. I can see where that would seem really, really slow to them.
Sure. I gotta understand that tremendously.
I just can't understand, I can't fathom having your hands on the steering wheel doing 229.537 miles per hour.
Yeah. See, but I just said the thing about the worst of the worst just to get your goat.
I know you did. I knew you did.
Just to get your goat.
Just conveniently, I remembered your comment earlier.
Just to get your... What you say? Wait a minute. I only did it because it was your sport.
I realize.
Vince Welsh, by the way, next Wednesday on the Indy 500.
He's probably as excited as I am.
Well, of course he is. He's getting significant paper to do the race. That's the difference.
Sadly, they wouldn't have to give me any paper to do the race. That's one race.
That is sad.
I would do gratis.
That is sad. I can tell you right now, you know how long that feeling would last?
1 year?
Halfway through the race.
One race.
Soon as some producer or director yells at you in your headset, you're like, I don't need this. I wish I was getting paid.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This month can't end fast enough.
You only have another week.
Oh, another week.
But you won't see much. Nothing will happen between Monday and Carburation Day.
I'm not talking about on the air. I'm talking about during the breaks.
You've never been this informed about racing in your entire life. Admit it.
Ugh.
This has been an educational experience for you.
I'll tell you right now, if they played our breaks back at Guantanamo, we'd get all the information we needed out of prisoners.
Well, I don't want you to fall asleep. I want you to be entertained.
Make him stop! Make him stop! I'll tell you where all the bombs are. Okay, great. Play this back over the loudspeaker. See how we do.
When you interview Vince Welsh, you are going to be so knowledgeable. Vince is going to go, wow, this is impressive.
Let me ask you something. Last year when I interviewed Vince Welsh, how many of your questions did I use?
Three.
How many questions were there in the interview?
Four.
No.
Yeah, but they were really good questions.
Oh, you're as well-informed as anybody, but I think I know what I'm talking about.
No question. You do. You do your homework.
2.5 miles. Going in a circle 200 straight times. First one to make 800 successful left turns usually wins. All right. I think I got the concept down.
Unless you make 799, and then it doesn't happen right.
I said 800 successful left turns.
I know. Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I think I got the concept. I think we're good. It's exciting. There's great pageantry to it. It's colorful. It's fast. I've always been a huge fan of the Indianapolis 500. Huge fan. I remember when they brought in Jimmy Leonard and Parnelli Jones, and they put Pratt & Whitney jet engines, turbines, in the back of the car.
You know, that is the one thing.
1967. In the winter, they were both able to make it through 490 miles, Jimmy Leonard and Parnelli Jones.
I've never seen an Andretti win this race. I was born after Mario won the race. I've seen them tragically lose races that way, but I've never seen an Andretti win.
You are shocked. Oh, I saw Andretti win.
No,
in 1969.
I know you did.
It did in the backup car. Crashed the primary in practice. Was burned, in fact. Andy Granatelli was his owner. You're about ready to fall down, aren't you?
No, I expected you to know that.
Yeah. Let's talk about horsepower of a different kind, an actual horse. Bring in my broadcast partner for Penn State basketball and also one of the preeminent horse racing writers in the country, Dick Girardi from Pimlico. DJ, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. I just ran into one of my old-time horse racing guys who said to a broadcast this year and said we were brilliant, and I certainly concurred with that.
And again, I hope that you were able to peel enough paper to back up that particular compliment. I will send you my half.
Yeah, it was funny. But yeah, you're right. I have spent a few days at this racetrack, like every day for quite a long time in the 70s. And it's always great to come back home. It's, of course, where I grew up.
Yeah, and here's, let's start with that because of your familiarity with the track. Let's get to sports is filled with its fair share of mythology. Here is one of the great myths in sports. The turns at Pimlico are tighter than anywhere else, but the reality is it's just not as wide a track. Is that true?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The straightaways are much narrower, say, than at Churchill Downs, and I think that gives people the illusion somehow that the turns are tighter and you better be nearer the rail or you can't win. It's just not the case. There's been videos where they superimpose Churchill Downs over Pimlico, and they're really almost identical the way the turns are. And what's interesting, too, Steve, back in the 70s, when I was here a lot, late 70s, it really was a track. If you weren't in front, for the most part, you really couldn't win. You couldn't make up any ground. But then they hired a new track superintendent in the 1980s, and that's changed. And it's really been a fair track ever since. Different running styles can win. So, yeah, it's one of those, look, like any myth or anything that becomes, in people's mind, established fact, it's really hard to change that unless you have some a year's worth of facts to explain, hey, this isn't true. But, yeah, this myth has really died hard because annually we keep hearing about it.
This is going to be different because you go from what was a 19-horse field to 9. How much does that change any race strategy at all because of the reduced normal size field?
The key thing is, Steve, you just don't have to worry about the crazy thing happening to you. I mean, with 19, until they sort themselves out, I think every jockey in the race is a little scared of what's possible. They obviously run at 9-horse races every day of the week or less or slightly more. So, from that standpoint, it's just the traffic that's different. Horses can get in trouble at 5-horse fields. I've seen it happen. And in fact, Forbes' issue here is, unlike in Kentucky, he's going to have a target here. Everybody's going to know he was the Derby winner. The other 8 riders will attempt to know where he is, potentially put him in a spot where it makes it a little more complicated. You can't do that in Kentucky because there's 19 of them. In fact, I was talking to Jerry Bailey about this yesterday. He's going to do the commentator for NBC tomorrow, and he said, look, at the Derby, it's every man for himself. You're just trying to survive out there.
Yeah.
Whereas in the previous, now that you have an established favorite, other jockeys can not only ride their own horse, but they can potentially make it a little more difficult for the favorite to win.
It's a 1 3/16, so slightly shorter. You always observe the next 100 yards after. How well did Orb run the final 100 after the finish line?
Yeah, he was rolling, Steve. He did not look like he was at all tired at the finish. And he's not built like a lot of these recent Derby winners. He's not one of these middle-sized, stocky kind of horses. He's real tall, lean. He's almost a throwback-looking horse back to the days of yesteryear. And yeah, this race is a football field plus 10 yards shorter than the Derby, and I don't see any reason that Orb wouldn't be finishing just as fast as he did there. And this is, of course, the shortest of the three. But the more difference is the stretch one is a little shorter than it is Kentucky. The finish line is just a little further down the stretch at Churchill. Here it's more like a little over 300 yards, whereas at Churchill it's a little over 400 yards. So from that standpoint, you probably want to be a little closer when you had the stretch than you are in Churchill. You can make up a little more ground there.
Starts in one good spot for him?
I don't think it's an issue. I know people are making it an issue because it is a problem at Churchill. You don't want to be in the one post going a mile and a quarter. Here at Pimlico, the gate is actually out onto the main track. At Churchill, right, it's back in what's called a chute, where the horse almost has to take a right turn to get in position from the one post. So it is a problem there. Here, historically, the inside post has actually been fine. My guess is Joel Rosario, the rider of Orb, will probably just drop out the back anyway and take a right turn out of the gate and get his horse off the rails just to give him clear running room. The last thing you want to do with the best horse is get him in a situation where potentially his momentum could get stopped. And I think he'd rather go outside a horse and lose ground than take a chance on getting stopped at some point in the race.
Let's see. Drier condition and a shorter race. How much does that help Golden Sense?
Yeah, I think it, Golden Sense, Steve, you're going to know after 200 yards if he's going to be a factor or not. If he's in front, clearly, then he's going to have a chance to win the race. If he's in another speed duel like he was in Kentucky and trapped on the inside, he's not winning. And that's what happened to him at Churchill. It's just an unfamiliar situation, and they were going too fast. And any speed horse that you like, you're always thinking potentially a big risk because they can look real. They can make you and look really bad, and he made everybody that liked, including me, look really bad. The Derby backed out of there, but different circumstance here. He's more comfortable. He'll run a lot better. I think if Orb gets speed, and I think Orb is more than likely to win, but if he gets speed, Golden Sense is the most likely horse to do it.
Oxbow is actually not bad, a sixth at the Kentucky Derby. And actually kind of hung around to the extremely quick pace. What kind of race can Oxbow deliver?
Yeah, he ran way better than I thought he was going to run, frankly, way better than Gary Stevens' jockey thought he was going to run. And I didn't talk to Gary during the week, but I know some people that did, and I don't believe he was real high on that horse during the week and before the Derby. And he was the only horse that was even in the vicinity of the early pace who was still around at the finish. He was actually heading in for the lead at the top of the stretch. So I thought he ran a deceptively good race, and he's going to be a bit of a long shot, probably 15-1. So I don't think he can win, but he's the kind of horse potentially could finish second or third.
Right, and it's my lucky day. Actually, it was second to Orb. I think it was the Florida Derby, wasn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, he had a great winter in Florida. He won a couple big races in January. They took 2 months off, second to Orb in the Florida Derby. And he was, I thought, a pretty live long shot in Kentucky. And I thought of every horse that ran in that race, he was the most disappointing because he never ran a step. He just never looked like he was into it. His trainer, Eddie Plisa, is convinced it was because he painted the sloppy track. I don't know that that's the answer. Obviously, we're going to find out tomorrow, but he's going to get another chance on a fast track tomorrow.
My Loot was fifth in the Derby. Thoughts on that? Is this one that could maybe get in the top three?
Yeah, what Mott Moon has, he's got this going for him. He's ridden by Rosie DePrapnick, who actually is more familiar with this track than any rider in the race. She won the first race of her career here back in the middle 2000s. She actually finished up high school here at Hereford High School in Baltimore County as she was learning the racetrack world. So she's won a ton of races here. She's second leading rider in the country in terms of wins at this stage in 2013. So that's an edge. I think Mott Moon's problem is that the way the race was running, Kentucky really favored his running style. I mean, it helped Orb as well, but they went so fast that it set it up for the late runners. He's a very late runner. He was beaten 4 lengths by Orb. 4 lengths in horse racing is almost a second. That's a big number to make up in 2 weeks. Now, whether he's able to do it or not, I'm not so sure.
Departing won the Illinois Derby, third in Louisiana. You've got Titletown 5, which was okay in the Derby trial, but that was a while ago. And then Governor Charlie, which won the Sunland Derby, that's not in New Mexico?
It is in New Mexico. Yeah. Yep.
In fact, I've actually been to that track.
No way. Sunland Park? You've been in attendance?
I've been to Sunland. And I went to Sunland Park, and the reason I was there was Penn State played in the Sun Bowl basketball tournament in El Paso, and I drove over the line.
Right, trying to cross.
I went over the line to Sunland Park and took in a couple races.
There you go. You got one on me, pal. You got a racetrack on me. That should never happen.
That should actually never happen. But but you have to remember, in order to do that, that means you have to spend time in El Paso.
That's right. Yeah, I understand all that. But yeah, those that you mentioned, the three horses that are in the race did run in the Derby. I think of the three departing would have the best chance. I love this race in the Illinois Derby. I thought it was sensational. And you mentioned he ran in the Louisiana Derby. That was a key Derby prep because the horses out of that race ran 2-3-5 in Kentucky. My Loot ran in that race, too. So I think departing is okay. His only loss was in that Louisiana Derby. And he's going to have to improve, obviously, to beat Orr. But if you're looking for a late runner that potentially could beat the Derby winner, I think he's the most likely one. Titletown 5, I think, is probably just overmatched on talent. And Governor Charlie, hard to tell what he is yet. He's only raced 3 times, never against this kind of competition. Baffert missed the Derby. He knew he wasn't going to miss the Derby and the Preakness. He's in town. He's here. He's ready to go.
Yeah, and that's all set. Back to Orb. Orb and Golden Sense will not have a front duel for a while. Orb will probably lay off the pace, you think, right?
Definitely, yeah. The only time those two would ever be together would probably be sometime in the stretch if Golden Sense is still around. Yeah, their styles are diametrically opposite. One with the early speed. Orb is either going to be mid-pack if they're going slowly up front or far back like he was in Kentucky if they're flying. You'll get a sense of the pace just by watching Joe Rosario and seeing where Orb is in the race. And I'm sure Larry Thomas is calling for NBC. He'll let everybody know where the Derby winner is as much as he can.
This will also be the first time for those who are going to do the double that they've ever run competitively 2 weeks apart. What's that factor?
Yeah, I don't think that's Shug McGee has already said that we're up to him. He would obviously like to have more space between the races because none of these horses are used to it. It is interesting in this era where horses run more like 5-6 weeks apart in the significant races. The Derby winner, the good Derby winners, I mean, the ones who had form coming in, Smarty Jones, Funnyside, Big Brown, I'll Have Another, they all come back and duplicate their form at Pimlico.
Right.
It's the ones, the Giacomos and the Super Sabres, the ones that really weren't kind of fluky winners, they don't come back in 2 weeks. But, yeah, it hasn't been a factor. It more seems like the problem comes up in 3 weeks at the Belmont when they're just beat up from running the third race in 5 weeks. But yeah, they all seem to duplicate their form. And some of these, Smarty Jones being one of them, even ran better at the Preakness than he ran in the Derby.
Right, and rarely in the Belmont, in a Fleet Alex, for example, being an exception, rarely do you see a horse that has been in any of the other races actually win the Belmont against those who have been. It's usually somebody just was brought in for the Belmont and they win the thing.
Yeah, that's the recent history. In fact, the second and third finishers from the Derby aren't here. They went right to New York. They're going to run in the Belmont. And as you said, other horses that weren't running in either of the two, they have an edge because they haven't run the way the modern thoroughbred is trained. The more time between races, generally speaking, the better they run. That's why this is obviously really hard to win. It's been 35 years, and it just keeps getting harder because the whole sport has changed. It would be like now you're gonna try to start winning basketball games overnight, but you've never had a 3-point shooter ever, and now you're gonna try to develop one
right.
20 years after the shot came in. So I mean that it's just the game has changed, but the Triple Crown series has not.
Yeah, in the last 34 years, only 12 horses have won the first two legs to then try and go for the Triple Crown. So, I mean, Orb's trying to become the 13th to do that in that span.
I think I've seen 9 of them go down, Steve. I was 87. I wasn't there in 79 or 81, but I've been there for every one for 87, and I thought I was going to get a shot at it last year. Of course, I'll Have Another never even ran it.
Right. For Shug McGahee to win finally at Kentucky, that was a great story that he won the Derby. He's a Hall of Fame trainer. You're around him. You know, what kind of guy is he? And in terms of his everyday training of any horse, regardless of a racehorse, what kind of guy is he?
Yeah, he's one of these intuitive guys. He just has a sixth sense about the horses, when they're doing well, when they're not, and He, along with probably Bill Mott, are the two best active trainers never to have won the Kentucky Derby. And really, what Shug's issue was opportunity, Steve. He had the great easygoer in 89, didn't win, certainly was capable of winning, and he only ran one horse in the intervening 24 years in the Derby. He's just not a guy who's going to push into something if it's not there. If the horse isn't ready, he's not running them, which is very much old school. There's a lot of the modern trainers that will just run them just to be in these races to get on television. That is not Shug's style, and he's one of the good guys. I've known him since '88, and he's real laid back, he's reserved, but he's always friendly and he's accessible, and he's got some great insights into the game.
Yeah, and back to that he won't run them to run them. I think that's just a statement unto itself, that as if this is not a big ego guy, he cares more about the animal than he does about his personal record.
No question. Yeah, I mean, he never sought out these races. And let's face it, the focus in horse racing is on the Triple Crown series. I mean, that's what most people know about it. So if you want to get known, that's generally how you do it. Now, having said that, he's had access to great bloodlines and great horses with the family that he trains for, so he's won significant races, 10 Breeders' Cup races, he's won the Belmont Stakes, But yeah, he never rushed to get to the Derby. And he won. Like, he's a native of Lexington. I mean, he saw his first Derby in the early 60s, so you know how much he wanted to win it. But yeah, he let the animal, when the right animal was going to come along, he was going to be in it. And obviously, he had the right one. He had him ready for the Derby 2 weeks ago.
All right, so 24 hours out, what's your gut as to how this could play out?
Yeah, I think Golden Sense to the front. Wayne Lucas keeps saying Pendletown 5 isn't going to show speed. He has the speed to be up there, but he's employed Julian Leperoux. You do not employ that jockey if you want your horse to show speed. He takes everything back, so I suspect he'll be a couple lengths off the pace. I think Governor Charlie's going to be in the vicinity and technically could be up there battling with Golden Sense. I see Golden Sense in front clear, though, on this fast track. I think he's going to make it to the front. And then at some point, or maybe 7, 8, 9 lengths back, he's going to make a run at him. And I would not be totally shocked to see those two hook up at some time in a stretch and run down a stretch together. I have to think Orb is the stronger horse at this point. I mean, his workout the Monday before the Derby was ridiculously good. Well, the one he had this last Monday was better. So you can tell it. And you can just, some horses you can just look at, they're losing weight or they're not as eager. This horse is ready to run.
Wow. Interesting. Dick, as always, my friend, thanks. And check money order for the dude that was so complimentary of our basketball broadcast. Yeah.
I will let Steve know when I see him. It's another Steve. He's a longtime buddy of mine, racetrack guy. And I will, he's first, as soon as he saw me in the press box, he says, hey, I wanted to tell you that. So, yeah, I'll let him know that the check is on the way.
Well done, my friend. Hey, I'll talk to you, probably talk to you this weekend.
That's good. All right, Steve.
Thanks,
good Dick. Dick Girardi. Yeah, I probably will talk to him this weekend. In between your texts about lap speeds.
No, I'm not going to text you this weekend. You're on your own. I'm gonna be, my phone time and my data plan is going to be well used, and it ain't going to be texting you.
You won't be able to resist. You'll get too juiced, too enthusiastic.
Yeah, probably will. You're probably right.
I'll be over at Brewer's Outlet with Buhner.
At the pickle bar.
At the pickle bar, enjoying ourselves. Brewer's Outlet, by the way, is our sponsor on Friday, as always. Snacks, beverages, pickle bar. And my question is, where is Buhner?
He is
next hour.
Found.
I know. Next hour. Am I going to be here the next hour, or is it just going to be all you talking about?
Now, there's a show that I want to hear.
My phone's ringing. It's Roger. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.